13. I invite you to turn there, and we thank God for all of his blessings. And for those who are visiting with us today, we're certainly honored. You're our guest, and we're glad you're here. And we trust that God will touch you and speak to you as well, make you feel welcome. And we're grateful for his presence this morning. When you have found Genesis chapter 13, beginning in verse 10, I want you to stand to honor God's word. Genesis chapter 13. I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I want to bring to you a message that God has laid upon my heart for this hour, a message that I've entitled The Tragedy of Worldly Living. Father, I just pray in these moments here this morning, Lord, it is no accident that you brought us here. It is in the plan of God. I am convinced, dear Father, based upon the authority of your word, that there are certain things you want to accomplish in our lives as a church, as families, as individuals. I know also, Lord, that we fall short many times. Pray you'd forgive us of that. And I pray, Lord, that we would stand true to the teaching of the Word of God and on this truth of the cross, that's where we'll take our stand, the truth of the message of the gospel. There's one here this morning that does not know you as Savior. Pray today they'd make the most important decision, come trust you today, to be saved. Lord, I pray for every Christian who's under the sound of my voice this morning that this will be a most important time. In fact, the most important thing they'll do all day, today and this week, is to listen to you and your Holy Spirit speak to them. Lord, whatever you need to do, for us to be right with you today, I pray we do it. For this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The tragedy of worldly living. There seems to be a heresy of teaching that goes on in our country today that gives us the idea that somehow if the church, the true church, if those who are saved, if those who attend a local body of believers like this, that if we were to take and make ourselves look like the rest of the world, sound like the rest of the world, act like the rest of the world, that somehow or another we could do a better job of reaching the rest of the world. I just want to tell you, that's a lie straight out of hell. Because never in the Word of God does God tell His people, go be like everybody else. God says, come out and be separate and be like me.
Amen.
God even tells us to cleanse ourselves from the evil influences around us in the world. So these gurus who today have making their mark upon the tragedy of teaching that somehow or another we can reach more people if we just act like they do. I want to show you the example from the Word of God how I think is one of the greatest tragedies of worldly living you'll find in Scripture. And it is the story of Lot and his uncle Abram. We know him later on as Abraham. But Lot's life started out good. He made a good, had good company. He was with Uncle Abram. who was known in Scripture as, was called the friend of God. Lot comes on the scene in chapter 11 of Genesis, and after Abraham's brother dies, Abraham takes in Lot under his watch care and brings him under him. And as Lot comes under the influence of Abraham, God calls Abraham in chapter 12 to go out to another country. It says there that Lot went with him. And when he left Ur of the Chaldees, here comes nephew Lot tagging along. But that is the end of what we see as the similarities between Abraham and Lot. In fact, when you take a look at their lives, you'll find that they were completely different. The only thing we find is in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, tells us that Lot was righteous, though he was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. But we never find anywhere in the Word of God where Lot prayed. We never find anywhere where Lot built an altar. We have no idea of any defense that Lot did anything positive for God. All we see him doing is tagging along with Uncle Abram. He leaves with him in chapter 12, verse 4. He goes with him when he goes down to Egypt, chapter 13. And verse 1 in chapter 13, verse 3, when he leaves from there, Lot comes with him. You would think that after the positive influences of Abraham, the godly Abraham, who was known as the friend of God, you would think that that would have a positive influence on Lot's life by the company that he kept. Evidently, he was just with him in body, but not in spirit. He didn't pay attention to Abram's worship of God. He did not participate in Abram's walk with God. There's nothing that we find other than that verse in 2 Peter that gives us any idea that Lot was even some type of believer. But according to Peter, he was. So that brings us to this morning. If Lot was a believer in God, yet he allowed the evil influences around him to dictate his life, then does that not seem as a warning to all of us that you can come to church, you can have your name on a roll, you can sit in a class and give a dollar or two on the plate, but that does not exempt you from the requirements of living a godly life? Lot tried to have the world and have Abram's God as well. And we find that it does not work. There's a great tragedy taking place in America today. And the tragedy is that many well-meaning people, many people who I believe are saved, but are now being more influenced by the world than they are being influenced by God. And they've allowed those things to happen, maybe not all at once, but slowly, carefully, the devil has allowed those things to take place. And if we're not careful, we'll be like the worker with Paul in the New Testament, whose name was Demas, who after faithfully serving with Paul for a while, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that Demas, having loved this present world, hath forsaken me. So what is it that we can learn about Lot's life? What is it that we can learn to avoid this tragedy? I want to contend to you this morning, there's not a single one of us exempt from this tragedy this morning. Don't sit here and look at me like, well, I've been a member of this church a long time. That'll never happen to me. You better be careful. You just opened up the door for the devil in your life. Don't sit here and say, I'm a deacon. Or I'm a staff member. I'm a preacher. I'm a faithful follower of God. Those things would never happen to me. Those many times are some of those tragic words that we hear. When people come to us and say, I never dreamed my life would end up like this. Lot never dreamed where his life was headed. But there's some things that we can learn from this that I hope will help us. And I just want to serve notice this morning that there's a lot of worldliness that's going on in church circles today, and I'm afraid that I see it even influencing our own congregation in this place. I don't do a lot of posting, but I do a lot of reading on Facebook. And it concerns me when I see people share things, like things, comment on things that are totally contrary to the things of God. And I think it's high time that somebody stand up with the Word of God and warn you, you're headed down a very dangerous road.
Amen.
So it's time that we kick the worldliness out of the church. And it's time that we look at the Word of God and find out what we can do to avoid the tragedy of worldly living. Notice number one, I want you to know the choice. We read in the verses 10 through 11, that Lot made a choice. Abraham and Lot had to separate themselves. Their people were not getting along. Their workers were not getting along. There was strife between the herdsmen of the cattle. So Lot and Abram, workers had to be separated. And so Abram said, okay, we're going to have to go. And he said, Lot, I'll give you the choice. Where do you want to settle? And whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. Tragically, Lot made the wrong choice. He lifted up his eyes and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah. He pitched his tent toward that direction, a place that was so ungodly, we'll see later on, of God's destruction because of their great sin. You see, the problem with this worldly influence is that many times as Christians, we start looking at the world instead of looking at God. We start getting our influences from the world instead of the Word.
Amen.
And we start allowing the attitudes and the music and the choice of entertainment, the choice of speech, the choice of places we go and the things that we do, and we allow those things and we make bad choices. You say, well, preacher, everybody's doing it. By the way, can I tell you something? There's never anything where everybody's doing it. You may think everybody's doing it, but not everybody's doing it. Adam and Eve made a choice and they disobeyed God. Cain made a choice of a wrong sacrifice. David made a choice and committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband. The rich young ruler made a choice and he went away sorrowful. Judas made a choice and he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Pilate made a choice and allowed Jesus to be crucified. Felix made a choice and allowed Paul to walk away until some more convenient season would come. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You have a choice to make, and the choice is either following the world or following God.
Amen.
Now, let's just go ahead and analyze Lot's choice. His choice was based on sight, not faith. His choice was based on greed, not gratitude. His choice was made on earthly values instead of eternal values. When it comes to making choices, we look at this story and we say, how could Lot do that? How could he even think about going in that direction? And my friend, when we finally see the end of the tragedy of some people's lives, we ask the same question. How in the world would they ever allow that? Oh, it didn't start that way. It started with somewhere long while back, they started making a choice. They started making a choice. They thought, I know I'm not supposed to do that, but maybe if I just get over here a little bit close to it, maybe it won't hurt me. And after that's not too bad and nothing seems bad, maybe I'll just get a little bit closer to those bad decisions. And then sometimes they get so close, they didn't realize how far away they'd gotten away from God, and they're way over here stuck in the middle of all this stuff, and they finally realize they don't have a way of getting out. A drunk and an alcoholic never meant it that way when they took their first drink. A drug addict never meant to be a drug dealer or a drug addict when they took their first piece of drugs or first sniff. Someone addicted to pornography never thought that first look at a magazine or a website would lead them down that dangerous road. We never thought. And when a man chooses or a wife chooses to leave her marriage and go find what she thinks is greener pastures, and when he thinks it's better on the other side of the fence, and when you realize he's destroyed not just one family but two families or more, he never thought it would end up that way. He just thought he was having fun flirting. She thought it was just cute. But they never realized the devastation that was waiting for him down the road. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to making choices, we must keep eternal values in place. What kind of choices are you making in your life today? What kind of choices did you make this past week of how you spent your time? What music you listened to? People you hung around with? The things you said and the things you did? It all begins with a choice, but it doesn't stop there. When we make our choices, we must remember what once great President Ronald Reagan said, one's philosophy of life is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes. And the choices we make are ultimately our own responsibility. See, we've given in to the idea it's always somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. No, it's your fault. You made the choice. You need to make better choices. Notice number two. Not only do we see the choice that we make, but do you notice also secondly? This is where we'll turn over a couple pages. Notice the compromise that comes across in Lot's life. The compromise. It is here we begin to see where the choices lead. Over in chapter 19, and just flip a couple pages, and I'm not going to read all of this story. But Lot begins to make some very bad compromises. And you know, that's where making choices to be influenced and to hang around the world will lead to compromise things in your life. You need to stand on some things of your life. You say, there'll be some things that I'll always, by the help and grace of God, I'll always do. And then there'll always be some things, by the help and grace of God, that I will refrain from doing. You need to make those choices early. And you do not need to compromise those choices, those decisions. But see, compromise, in Lot's case, took a drastic turn. In chapter 19, we see, and there's so many verses here, beginning in verse 7. It is here he asks those that were there around him, do not do so wickedly. What is he talking about? Lot got a visit from two heavenly beings, two angels, to warn him of the coming destruction of Sodom and for him and his family to get out. When those two beings showed up, the wickedness in the hearts of the men of Sodom showed up at Lot's house and tried to beat down the door to bring them out to do unnatural things with them. That's where we get our word sodomy from, is from the city Sodom. See, this whole idea of homosexuality is not new in our culture. It goes all the way back here to Genesis and beyond. It's been a wicked sin, and by the way, it's still a wicked sin. It's still in violation of God's plan for man and woman. And no ruling of any court or any law or of any Congress or any president will ever change God's commands regarding human relationships. God intended for one man, for one woman, period. Anything other than that is a violation of the Word of God. You say, well, that's not politically correct. I don't really care. Not here to be politically correct. I'm here to be obedient to the Word of God. And that's not hate. That's just the line that God has drawn. And it's for your benefit and for your happiness. But it is here that these men wanted to have sexual relationships with the beings that had come to see Lot, these male beings. And so Lot had gotten so bad, in the next verse he said, I've got two daughters here in my house. Let me just give them to you and you do what you want to with them. How low do you have to go? Lot had gotten to the point where he was so influenced by the evilness and the choices that he had made, he becomes so perverse in his decisions and he was powerless to stand against the evil and the wickedness of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, compromise is always seen in who you have your partnership with. Compromise is always seen in how low your perversiveness will go. Compromise is always seen in the powerlessness that you have to do it on your own. The cadets at the military academy at West Point have a saying in their, what they call their cadet prayer. And when they repeat this in Sunday services in their chapel, part of it goes like this: make us choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong, and never to be content with half truth when the whole truth can be won. You see, compromise is the next step down the long, dangerous road when we choose worldly living. Too many times we've seen preachers and churches go down this road. They compromise the Word of God just to make people happy. They water down the gospel just so that they can get a crowd. They try to tell people that there's no such thing as sin and that people don't have to suffer the judgment of sin and of God. Well, I've got news for Mr. Osteen in Houston. He needs to get right with God in his preaching, or he needs to get out of the pulpit.
Amen.
Now, I'm calling him out because he's in violation of the Word of God. He said this past week that homosexuals are not wrong in their lifestyle with God. I contend to you, he doesn't know his Bible. Maybe if he get off Facebook long enough, he'd study the Word of God, he'd know something. And spend more time in the Word instead of Twitter. But you see, it's time that we understand that we in this country are allowing false prophets to influence the leadership. And by the way, quit posting and liking his post on your Facebook. You need to quit following him and quit listening to him because he's a false prophet. He teaches a social gospel that anybody can be saved in any way you want to, and everybody's good and everybody's going to heaven. No, everybody's not good and everybody's not going to heaven according to this book. Now, that may not go well with some folks, but I really don't care this morning how you think about it, because the Word of God is very true in what it says. You see, the worldly living is turning into people making up, having these big meeting places they call a church, and it's not a church, because they're not following Jesus, they're following a man. They're not following the Word, they're following a movement. They're trying to make everybody happy, and when their meeting place looks more like a rock concert than it does the house of God, you need to find somewhere else to go.
Amen.
You say, preacher, you wound up just a bit. Just a little bit, I guess. But I just want to, and by the way, there's one dude who's not far from here, who's got multiple places around the upstate and around this state. He goes out there to Houston all the time to sit under him and listen to his false gospel and his false teaching. He needs to find somewhere else to go, and he needs to find something else to do himself. I know some of you got family who go over there, and I'm not mad at you and I'm not mad at them. I'm just mad at the devil.
Amen.
Because it's the devil who has created all of this. I'm not mad at Osteen. I'm not mad at any other false teacher on TV and Shepherd's Chapel, whoever else he is, and everything else. I'm just mad at the devil because he's influencing godly people and good people, I believe well-meaning people, but he's influencing people to make bad choices and to compromise themselves, and they're leading themselves down a dangerous road. You see, choices toward the world will cause you to compromise with the world. You need to make sure that there's some things in your life that you say, by the grace of God and with His help, I will not do certain things in my life. I will not go certain places. I will not allow certain things to be on my television or on my computer screen. I will not allow certain items to be mailed and subscribed to in my house. There is certain music I won't listen to. You need to make those things sure, because if you can and you compromise enough with the world, you're just like the world, and there's no influence do you have for God in your life. And when you allow the influence of the world more than the influence of God, then you're headed to a high cost, and that's number three. Notice the cost, and it was a high cost in his life. Beginning in verse 15, when the morning arose and the angels hastened Lot, arise, take your wife and your two daughters which are here, lest they be consumed in the wickedness of iniquity, of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his wife, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto them, brought them forth and set them without the city. Lot couldn't get out of town quick enough. Let me remind you of something. There's always a cost to your compromise. There's always a cost to worldly living. You say, preacher, I'm just having fun. I've got friends. Well, if your friends are based upon you hanging around doing things that are a violation to the Word of God and will of God in your life, you need to find new friends. You need to be somewhere else. But every sin has a bill attached to it, and payday, as R.G. Lee says, payday someday always comes. And for Lot, payday had arrived. God was going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, but in his mercy, he sent those angels back to get Lot, his wife, and his two daughters and get them out of town. Lot became a pauper. He lost everything he had. His son-in-laws were penalized. They died in the city because they would not follow Uncle, their father-in-law Lot, and when he finally warned them to get out. His wife became petrified. She turned to a pillar of salt because in verse 26 of chapter 19, she looked back. God said, don't look back. You keep running, you leave, and don't look back. You know, I think we got a lot of Lot's wives making up memberships of our churches today. They keep looking back to the world, thinking, maybe that looks kind of fun. Maybe I want to enjoy that a little bit more. Maybe we ought to go hang around those folks Saturday night. Maybe we ought to do some of the things we used to do. And she became a pillar of salt. Lot lost everything. He lost his herds. He lost his sons-in-laws. He lost his wife. He lost his finances. He lost everything. The story doesn't end there. Lot's daughters had become so perverted by the wickedness and the worldly living of Sodom that in verses 31 to 35, they got their daddy drunk and slept with him and fathered children. Lot fathered children to his own daughters. What a terrible cost and a price Lot had to pay for worldly living. He'd been better off staying in Uncle Abraham's house. He'd been better off trying to work out his differences of opinions. But Paul reminds us in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something, brother. You reap this worldly living. You sow this worldly living, you're going to reap high cost for low living. Proverbs 13:15 says, the way of transgressors is hard. Imagine this. Uncle Lot was known as the friend of God. Uncle Abram, was known as the friend of God. Nephew Lot was known as one of the biggest losers in all of Scripture. Wow. How did it go that way? How did it start that way? Well, it didn't start all at once. You see, he had a lure and a lust and a love for the world. And when we have a lure and lust and love for the things of the world, we're headed down a very dangerous road. You see, maybe that's why when we go to church, we ought to spend more time paying attention to the preacher than checking our phone for messages or Facebook. Oh, I said it.
Amen.
You heard it. But maybe some of you pay attention more to the Word of God instead of your phone during church. You might let the Holy Spirit speak to you time or two. Hey, it doesn't matter to me. I got a funeral to preach this afternoon of a class to teach at 5 o'clock and preach again at 6 o'clock. So I don't really care if you get mad at me or not. And don't come to me and talk to me. No, don't clap. No, you're funny. Fine. And don't come and make an appointment with me to talk to me about it either. Because the problem is we've allowed worldly influences to influence our churches to the point that we have no impact in reaching people for Christ. That's where it comes down to. That's where it comes down to. I don't know about you, but I don't want to end up like Lot. Abram wasn't perfect, and he had his failures, and he had made his mistakes, but he was still in the end known as the friend of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, bad company corrupts good morals. Maybe you need to find out what kind of company you keep. Maybe you find out, parents, who your kids' friends hang around with. Well, I'm done. I got one more thing to say. And that is that it's time that we start living like people of God instead of people of the world.
Amen.
Now, I don't mind. People have differences of opinion about different stuff. That's okay. There are some things we can have a difference of opinion on and still love each other and serve God together. It's okay. But when it comes to this book and what this book teaches, there is no compromise. There is no compromise in what this book teaches. And we've raised a generation of people that we have a hard time keeping in our churches when they grow up and move on. And the reason is because we're concerned, we want to be more like the people at work than we want to be down like people at church. There's a hymn that should be like our challenge this morning. It says, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My soul has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to lead you on the higher ground as people of God. Let's bow with us in prayer. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the truths that we find that are very strong and very real. Lord, I love my church. I love my church family. I pray for everyone every day. Lord, I pour out my soul before you every week for these people. But it breaks my heart when I see the worldly influence that's taken over some of our adults and some of our leaders and some of our teenagers and some of our families. Lord, it's not just this church. Lord, it's not just this. It's other churches. But Lord, I think that there's a godly enough people in this place and godly enough people in other churches that we stand up for the truth and remind people of the truth, that we can help some of these people avoid the tragedy of worldly living. Like Lot, the tragic life of Lot. Oh, Lord, help us not want to be like that. Lord, help us be like Abram, Lord. Help us to go before the altar of God and beg God for forgiveness. Let us spend more time building altars than spending time with the world. Let us spend more time in your word than we do on social media. Oh, dear God, I pray this morning. I believe we can make a great difference in this community. I believe we can make a great difference in our schools, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods. Father, we got to make some choices, the right choices. We got to determine the company we're going to keep. Help us avoid compromise, and Lord, remind us that the cost is high if we do not follow you in our lives. Lord, we love you. We love each other. Thank you for this place. Lord, I pray that this week will be a week of change, a week of heart searching and direction in many areas. And Father, we just want to trust you for it. Lord, I pray right now in this invitation. If there's one here that needs to be saved, I pray they'll be saved. They'll come. There's one here that needs to just get on this altar and do business with you, Lord. Get right with you in some area of their lives. Lord, help them make better choices. Help them not to compromise their life, Lord. Father, whatever we need to do, Lord, in this hour, I pray we do it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Jenny, we're going to sing. I didn't pick out.